Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Now, I know you guys would never do this.
Dr. Gary Chapman on Focus on the Family Minute.
But let's say that you forget your anniversary. No card, no flowers, no dinner, no nothing. And so you're sitting there at night and you look up and she's crying. And you say, honey, what's wrong? And she said, I can't believe you don't know what's wrong. And then it dawns on you. I doubt that I'm sorry is going to hack it. But chances are if you say to her, honey, what could I do to make this up to you? I know we can't do anything today, it's gone. But what can I do to make this up to you? Chances are she'll have an idea.
Hear more from Dr. Chapman about apologizing well at familyminute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Eric Church, live in concert at the California Mid-State Fair. Saturday, July 18th. Yeah, you're out there now. Get tickets now at midstatefair.com.
Having a record year. Funny how melody sounds.
Don't miss Eric Church.
Pulled out drinking.
Saturday, July 18th at the California Mid-State Fair.
Good afternoon and welcome to Free Talk California with Susanna Luthi on AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM. Phone lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. California Free Talk is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. Ask about the daily specials. And now, Free Talk California on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Good afternoon and welcome to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthi. And I just want to wish everyone a happy, every father, a happy belated Father's Day. We had a lovely celebration at Bistro Laurent here in Paso. Just absolutely beautiful dinner. And shout out to my husband, Garrett, who is just an amazing father. I see it in how our boys, especially, are growing up. So anyway, happy Father's Day. All right, so today we have a lot to cover, and I was hoping to have someone on to help unpack this Newsom DOJ investigation, and when a little more comes out, I promise I will have a guest on. But we don't know a whole lot, and what we do know, we knew all along, because we had our Newsom series on here, on this show. And I'm going to take us back down memory lane as Gavin Newsom and certain top Democrats defending him claim that this investigation is pure political motivation. Let's look into what we know. All right. So what we know about this investigation, here's just a little summary before we dive into the facts about Gavin Newsom and all his many years in power in California, which have been marked by dubious spending, dubious fundraising, lots of backroom handshake, back scratching deals. So here we go. As we've discussed on the show, the so-called first partner of California, Jennifer Siebel Newsom, whose parents relocated to Florida from California, so she has two nonprofits which have been heavily funded by some of Gavin Newsom's major donors, who have had business before the seat. So because of these two nonprofits, I've reported, other reporters have reported for years, little snippets of all the quid pro quos and ethical questions, corruption questions that have surrounded this. So last Monday, Gavin Newsom admitted that he was under federal investigation. He posted a video message and sounded a little shaky and claimed that Donald Trump was after him because he was potentially running for president in 2028. The Sacramento Bee cited two sources familiar with the investigation in their story and said that there were several ongoing investigations into the Newsoms, focusing on Jennifer Siebel Newsom's taxes and charities, and said that the probes came from whistleblower complaints that had been submitted to the U.S. Attorney's Office in Sacramento, not in Washington, D.C. So potentially what these investigations could center on is whether Newsom illegally did favors for a Native American tribe that he had told to donate to one of Siebel Newsom's charities. And they could be looking at the $1.5 million in personal income that Siebel Newsom has reportedly received from her production company. It's called Girls Club Entertainment, and it produces the very, let's say, left-wing documentaries about gender, which have been mostly funded by donations from corporations that operate in California. Federal officials told multiple news outlets that they, multiple news outlets have reported that federal officials have been questioning friends and associates of the Newsoms, as well as people involved with nonprofits run by California's first partner. And the group that seems to be of particular interest is called the California Partners Project. This project is actually linked to Jennifer Siebel Newsom's official California state page. It calls itself a gender equality nonprofit. They focus on things like getting more women on corporate boards and hiking pay for women. It works hand in glove with the first partner's government office, which is taxpayer funded, obviously. She has the first in history taxpayer funded office full of staff. And yet her partners project, California Partners Project, is mostly funded by donations that Gavin Newsom solicits from his corporate donors. So there are lots of questions about this. Siebel Newsom has officially has kind of embarrassed herself, I would say, recently, as she goes on more and more TV shows. She is heightening her profile as her husband starts his quest for the presidency in 2028. She has expressed really strange views on race and gender. She's talked about how she'll change the sex of characters in the story she's reading. A male character, she'll change to a she. There was a weird video clip in 2016 that's recently resurfaced where she seems to be trying to bond with murder convicts in San Quentin's prison, telling them how she accidentally killed her 8-year-old sister when she was young with a golf cart. She accuses the press of fighting a war on women. She loves to talk about toxic masculinity. She this will play really well in South Carolina, but she talks about how she gave her sons dolls and took her children to the southern states to, quote, witness racism, misogyny, bullying, and sexism. So this is where the investigation is looking. Newsom is, of course, saying this is all politically motivated, saying that Trump is after him. He said, quote, put my name on every and any enemies list you have, but leave my wife and family out of your personal vendetta. He said, quote, he's coming after me because I'm considering running for president. At least he's kind of admitting that he's running for president. He loves to pretend that he's not, even though he has had a federal PAC for quite some time and is raising a ton of money for it by accusing Republicans of being fascists. And Newsom also accused federal law enforcement officers of fishing for a crime by, quote, digging through years and years of random documents and, quote, abusing the grand jury process. Then he accused the Trump family of corruption. So anyway, it's going to be interesting how this all plays out. We do know that Dana Williamson, who was Newsom's chief of staff, she was known as the person who decided what everything that happened for him as governor. She has been indicted on federal corruption charges. She was also the former chief of staff for Javier Becerra, who is the Democrats' candidate for governor this fall. And it was pretty obvious that that indictment was going to lead to other investigations. How tied they are, I don't know. It's interesting because I've reported this. It was in 2023, I think, that it became clear that Newsom was breaking his promise that he made prior to becoming governor, that he was going to release his tax returns every year. He used that as a jab at Trump. Remember when Trump was first elected, there was this whole thing about how he was the first candidate ever not to release his tax returns. Well, Gavin Newsom promised that he was going to do it every year. Subsequently, didn't. The last tax return that he released was in 2020. Since then, he has engaged in some interesting real estate deals. That may be why he has not released his tax return. So this includes buying a $9.1 million investing in a $9.1 million real estate empire. In 2020, he bought a $3.7 million Sacramento mansion for his family to live in that was not the taxpayer-funded governor's mansion, and that was purchased in cash through an LLC. Then he took a $2.8 million cash out of that house through refinancing. He pays roughly a $13,000 a month mortgage on his first home. Then in 2024, he bought a $9.1 million second home in the North Bay area, also through an LLC. Then he, so that leads to a $6.5 million mortgage at a nearly 7% interest rate. And on his first home, and then on the second home, a $42,000 a month mortgage on the second home. He also owes $118,000 per year in property taxes on that second home. And that totals nearly $600,000 a year in total mortgage payments. That's a lot of money. He also spends about $200,000 a year on household employees. That's the average, according to the tax returns that he did release up to 2020. And then he spends $70,000 a year, roughly, on private school tuition for two kids. This doesn't include utilities or any other expenses. So it's unclear how he can afford all that on his public salary. Now, his wife, Jennifer Siebel Newsom, has also reported a salary from the Representation Project, which is her nonprofit that releases all these crazy gender videos that she supposedly sells to schools. This is a little bit of an exclusive detail from me. So I reported pretty extensively on these documentaries that she releases through the Representation Project, that the Representational Project pays her other LLC company, Girls Club Entertainment, to help produce. So I did, you know, they supposedly are aired in all these public schools in the state and around the country. Well, it would be obviously a big conflict of interest for the governor's wife to put these very political videos in public schools. Nevertheless, she claims that they are aired in schools, and they her nonprofit really publishes all these curricula to support the airing of these videos, to talk about and to urge kids in these classes to talk about gender, etc. Well, I did a public records request a while back. This was when I was at the Washington Free Beacon. Of all the major school districts, I just focused on the 20 biggest school districts in the state of California. Didn't really deal with the other ones. And the only school district that said it has a contract with the Representation Project to show these videos was one of these suburbs of Sacramento, Elk Grove. And they said they didn't really pay her for these videos. So that adds another question about, you know, is this just a total bubble grift? We know that some of these documentaries were shown by corporations like PG&E and that had business before the state. That's obviously a conflict of interest. They're just, you know, playing nice with the Newsoms. But it was really interesting that I could not find any major school district actually paying to air her videos, even though that they claim that they do. Anyway, so this is what's happening. There's this investigation, and there's just a lot of noise. Media is taking Newsom's side. I just read the CNN story that basically only focuses on how Trump is so vindictive, not mentioning at all what happened to Trump under Biden. And top Democrats are saying some interesting things. So Adam Schiff was just asked about this investigation, and he said, quote, "I'm not saying that there can never be merit to an investigation, even when it involves someone who is not a fan of the president. But what we are seeing, what we have seen, is such dramatic proof of the abuse of the department." He means the Department of Justice. And when the reporter... the reporter had asked him, is it out of the realm of possibility that there could be a legitimate investigation here? All right. I have a guest calling in. Welcome. You're on the air.
Yes. What does Governor Newsom claim as a positive now that we know all the negatives and how he's destroyed California by chasing all the business out? What does he claim as he's done?
What is he claiming he's done? Well, he loves to claim that he's building a California for all, and he keeps harping on the longstanding top position California has enjoyed because it has great weather, basically, and companies have been here for a very long time. Silicon Valley and Hollywood were built here, and he keeps claiming that even though Hollywood is falling apart, Silicon Valley billionaires are exiting. And Yes, that's basically, he loves to ride the coattails, but he can't really control the weather. And really, California owes its greatness to the weather.
So he's trying to take claim for our wonderful weather. And what about and the wonderful people that he's chasing away? The only time in the history of California where there's more people leaving than those coming in.
Yep, that's right. That's right.
I'm confused.
You and me both.
I think he thinks he's treading on his good looks.
Do you think he's handsome?
Well, no, I don't. But a lot of women do.
All right, I'm going to defend my sex here. I don't know any women who find him attractive, but I'm sure there are some. I'm sure there are some.
Well, I'm 88 years old, but in my younger days, I was a woman chaser, and I relied on my good looks. But it doesn't do you any good when you get old.
At least you have a great personality.
Anyway, I love your show.
Thank you so much. You. Really appreciate your call. I just got a text in. Reminders to listeners that you can always text 805-238-5775. All right, about to this listener asked, do the Newsoms own a winery? So Gavin Newsom has a whole portfolio of businesses that include wineries. He was funded by none other than Gordon Getty, one of the richest men in California. And his portfolio of businesses is currently in a blind trust that is run by a close friend of his and a cousin, I believe. And his sister is still very much involved in running those businesses. It wasn't a huge amount of money, but some of his businesses do get paid by his campaign for various events too. So he's not totally uninvolved. All right, we will continue on this track after we take a break for these net messages. I didn't even get into all the things that I wanted to talk about with Newsom, so this is going by very fast. Please do call in, ask any questions. I've done a lot of reporting on this topic, so I'm pretty well versed, and I'm excited that investigators are finally caring. All right, we'll be right back. Stay with us. You're listening to Free Talk California.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care, all your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Tom Rigotti. Vice President J.D. Vance is returning to the U.S. following high-level negotiations with Iranian officials in Switzerland this weekend. Vance emphasizing that technical talks will continue as both sides work toward a permanent peace agreement.
A very productive 36 hours. We're going to have to keep working it.
In a concrete move toward implementing the interim deal, the Treasury Department waived sanctions on the sale of Iranian crude oil through August 21st. Minnesota Congresswoman Ilhan Omar is facing renewed scrutiny over her finances following a series of significant amendments to her financial disclosure forms. Fox's Mark Meredith reports.
The Congresswoman sparked an investigation after a 2024 filing showed she and her husband claimed assets between $6 and $30 million, mostly through her husband's businesses. It was a massive rise in wealth.
Omar's 2025 report shows a large reduction in net worth. America's listening to Fox News.
Hi, this is Chris from We Help You Legal. Legal documents should be simple and affordable. At We Help You Legal, there are no lawyers and no high costs, just certified experts to assist you with living trusts, wills, divorce matters, corporations, and LLCs.
Hi, I'm Christina. We also offer notary services. You can find us online at wehelpyoulegal.com or call 805-237-7770.
We Help You Legal, your Central Coast legal document company.
Hi, and welcome back to Free Talk California. This is Susanna Luthi. All right, we are going to keep on our little investigation of our own into Gavin Newsom as the feds are conducting a probe of his finances, and we know that the probe involves his wife's nonprofit, the representation project. It also involves certain tax questions. So the big questions around Gavin Newsom's wife's nonprofits are just the millions and millions of dollars that Gavin Newsom has funneled to this nonprofit from his corporate donors. And his corporate donors often have business in front of the state. We've talked about this system. It's legal in California. It's called the behested payments system. Our Attorney General Rob Bonta did the same thing for his wife's nonprofit. He established a whole foundation that then funneled money from his donors to the nonprofit that paid his wife's salary. Mia Bonta has subsequently replaced Rob Bonta in the state assembly. He did this while he was a state assemblyman for the Oakland area. And other politicians have done the same, but no one is using it quite so egregiously and boldly as our governor, Gavin Newsom, really, as he's been treating it as this endless slush fund. He not only has directed tons of money to his wife's nonprofit, he's also directed money to one of the top Democratic get out the vote fund, every far left cause you can think of, consortium called the Tides Network. Talked about that. Anyway, so let's just take a walk back in history over how Gavin Newsom has used this behested payment system in a very interesting way. Let's go back to 2023. I don't know if you remember, but a bank called the Silicon Valley Bank, which was on the verge of bankruptcy, and there was a big question over whether Joe Biden, who was president at the time, would bail it out. Well, Gavin Newsom tweeted that he was instrumental in helping the president use federal tax money to bail out this bank, which was on the verge of failure. Well, Silicon Valley Bank has a long history of both lobbying the California government and donating to Jennifer Siebel Newsom and her nonprofits. In 2021, Silicon Valley Bank gave $100,000 to the California Partners Project. This is the nonprofit that's closely tied with her taxpayer-funded government office. And this gift came just as it was gearing up to lobby the state's university pension and teachers' retirement systems to invest in them. The gift to Jennifer Siebel Newsom's nonprofit was the largest contribution to any California entity that year. Let's see. So that happened. And I want to say, Silicon Valley Bank also gave to a lot of other major Democrats, including Ro Khanna. But there was no gift was as significant as that $100,000 to the California Partners Project. All right, so anyway, the other All right, I don't have a lot of my past investigations at my fingertips as I thought I did, but needless to say, there have been hundreds of millions of dollars raised from corporate donors for his various causes that include the Tide Center. Let's just talk about his taxes really quickly. So in 2024, as I mentioned, after pledging to be the first California governor to release his tax returns every year, he decided he just quit doing it after 2020. He had drawn all this praise for his pledge. Everyone said he was so great. He had ripped into Mitt Romney back in 2012 when Mitt Romney disclosed just 2 years worth of returns. He called it inexcusable. And then he just kind of quit doing it. And at the time, I was the first reporter to point it out. I talked to a few different people, including Dan Schnur, who's a former chair of California's Political Reform Commission and a longtime GOP strategist. And he said, you know, this was a very easily avoidable error. It doesn't make sense to wait until there's more of an outcry. Well, now he has waited until there's more of an outcry, and it is creating a lot more questions because there are so many whiffs of corruption around his fundraising for his wife's nonprofits and questions of double dealing. We have another call coming in. Hi, welcome. You're on the air. Sorry we missed that caller. All right. So what we do know from his tax returns, and this goes back to that question we received via text message about his winery. So in the 2019 filings that he has released, and let's see, it shows that he owns considerable stakes in a winery and restaurant and hotel business called the Plump Jack Group. He launched it many years ago along with oil heir billionaire Gordon Getty, who happened to also underwrite his political career. The properties include 4 luxury Napa wineries, San Francisco restaurants, a boutique ski hotel in Tahoe, which was last I checked after Newsom passed that $20 an hour mandate for fast food restaurants, was not paying minimum wage to wait staff at his restaurant, at his Tahoe restaurant. And all of these properties are now placed in a blind trust. They're managed by a friend, and the daily operations are overseen by his sister, Hillary. All right, so what are people saying about this investigation? Is it going to lead anywhere? It's, according to the California Post, which is the New York Post's new California-focused outlet, Gavin Newsom is lawyering up. His former chief of staff, Dana Williamson, who was indicted, did in fact plead guilty last month in federal court to a conspiracy to commit bank fraud and wire fraud. Among the charges against her was that she and her co-conspirators stole money from a, at the time, dormant state campaign account of Javier Becerra. Becerra himself has denied that he had any knowledge of the crime. He says that he was the victim. However, part of the alleged scheme involved using his campaign money to bolster the salary of his own chief of staff when he, meaning Becerra, was Joe Biden's Secretary of Health and Human Services. So, anyway, lots of strange things surrounding this whole Sacramento swamp. And one could ask, how does this happen? And it happens because we have a one-party state, a supermajority legislature. All the state offices are held by Democrats, and there's this little coterie of politicians who just self-deal and double-deal, and they protect each other. The media definitely protects them. If you look at any mainstream coverage of this Newsom investigation, they just really focus on They take Newsom's claim of political retribution at face value, and they really, really focus on that. They don't even go into depth on the crazy fundraising that Newsom has done for his wife and all the intertwined finances of taxpayers and donors for her nonprofits. Newsom himself has been exposed personally for shortcomings, like when he had the affair with his best friend's wife when he was mayor of San Francisco. But he is always let off. And in fact, he just keeps failing upward. He gets caught in lies. He has enraged voters, such as, you know, the French Laundry incident during COVID, when he was dining at that lavish restaurant while imposing stay-at-home orders on the rest of us and keeping businesses closed. Got away with it. There was the recall election. He won it overwhelmingly. So will justice be done? I don't know. But it does sound like he's a little nervous. So we will see. All right. So moving on from that. It's been a while since we have looked at the bills that are moving through the state legislature. There are a lot of bad ones, and so I do want to start reviewing them. We're going to have a guest on next week who's going to talk about how they're all faring as the deadline looms to pass these bills. The state budget has to be passed by July 1st, so we have another week, and the budget looks very bad. We'll go into some details. The bad bills that I've been watching all seem to be moving speedily along, headed toward passage. There is a moment in August when bills that will cost the state money can get pretty silently and brutally killed. We will see whether this happens with some of these, but I have no real hope that they will be. So, all right, let's go down the list. And this is just a small list. It's by no means comprehensive, but these are some bills that have caught my eye. So let's start with the state budget. All right, so state budget contains over $3.5 billion in tax hikes. Talk about not reading the room. Remember last year when Newsom and the state legislature said that they were going to focus on making California more affordable? Well, since then, gas has gone up. And not only has it gone up, but Newsom keeps slapping down the idea of freezing or lowering or ending the gas tax. All right. So, where are these tax hikes? There is a new sales tax on software purchases. So you know how we have to pay subscriptions now for any software service? It's very, very difficult to just purchase Word or Adobe or any design program. You really can't. You have to pay a subscription. So there will be taxes on those services now. There is also a provision that will continue the payroll tax hike that the state is using to pay back its massive unemployment benefit loan that it took out from the federal government during COVID. This is when there was a massive state surplus because California was getting so much federal aid. And instead of paying off the loan that it owed up after burning billions of dollars in fraudulent payments, the Newsom and the state decided to just make employers pay that back by raising payroll taxes. So anyway, that's continuing. Meanwhile, there is also a new health insurance tax, which will make every healthcare plan cost more. This is when there's already been an 11% spike in health insurance premiums. Well, now there's a new $400 tax on health insurance, about $400 a year that's estimated to cost families. Meanwhile, there are zero reforms or suspensions of the punishing regulations that we face. And there is another gas tax increase and no reforms to reduce gas prices, even though we are already paying $1.68 more per gallon of gas compared to the national average. So that's the budget. All right. We are headed into another break, and then we will dive into some of the controversial bills that the legislators are threatening us with here in California. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Free Talk California.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages kicking off the new trading week mixed as investors monitor the latest developments between the U.S. and Iran. However, struggling big tech weighed on the NASDAQ. Consumer discretionary and communication services were the worst performing sectors, while healthcare and industrials advanced. And shares of Elon Musk's rocket company SpaceX falling for a third straight session and suffering its biggest one-day decline since going public earlier this month, with its stock falling over 16%. And Salesforce stock fell 1%, its shares dropping for a 14th straight session, its longest losing streak on record. The Dow winners, Caterpillar, JP Morgan Chase, and United Health Group. The Dow decliners, Amazon, Microsoft, and Home Depot. The Dow up 148 points, the NASDAQ lower by 351, S&P 500 down 28. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
So Ryan and I came to the decision to get life insurance when I was pregnant with our first son. He really wanted us to be taken care of if something happened to him. He provided for our family in life and also after his death. I think that would make him proud. Ethos makes it fast and easy to get life insurance. Apply in minutes and get same day coverage.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/save. That's ethos.com/save. Paid testimonial. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
At Peak Painting, we get it. Hiring contractors can be frustrating. Missed calls, no callbacks, endless waiting for even a price. We do things different. You can book your quote right on the spot. And to top that off, you will have a detailed quote and price before we leave. Painting is easier with Peak.
Hi, I'm Seth Peak.
And I'm Ryan Peak.
And we're the Peak Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peak Painting at peekpainting.com.
Welcome back to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthi. Okay, we got a few minutes. Let's dive into some of the bad bills we're watching. All right, you probably heard about this one. It's Assembly Bill 2624. It's by Mia Bonta. Yes, that is the wife of our Attorney General. At least our Attorney General till November. Let's hope that Michael Gates beats him out. Carl DiMaio, who is the conservative who runs Reform California, and he's also in the assembly. He's dubbed this bill the Stop Nick Shirley Act, and it does seem to target anyone who investigates fraud, particularly around all our crazy immigrant NGO funding that helps illegal immigrants come and stay and bring their families, gives them legal help, etc. So this would give money and support to immigration, to these immigration, pro-immigration NGOs, nonprofits. It would penalize anyone who reports on these NGOs in a way that discloses either where they are, who is working there, if their pictures are posted. And yes, basically criminalizes any reporting that would give real information about these places. So that is moving along swimmingly through the legislature. It just passed its first Senate committee. I am not sure how many Senate committees it needs to go through before reaching the Senate floor, but it does look poised for passage. All right. And then here's a really crazy one. It's Assembly Bill 1821. Not surprisingly, so this has to do with transparency and of local governments particularly, but it will apply to all governments. Unsurprisingly, it was passed by the Lobbying Coalition for City Governments and County Governments here in California. It is by Assemblywoman Blanca Pacheco, and it will basically make it more expensive and onerous for us California citizens to obtain government records. This bill has gone through some various iterations. There was a lot of outcry when she first introduced it, so she watered it down to just say, okay, well, governments can have more time to respond to records requests. But now she has brought all the controversial elements back that and actually made the bill even more restrictive against citizens. So this really even has diehard liberals who like transparency up in arms. All right. So as I mentioned, this is co-written by city and county governments. They're lobbying arms. It would allow government agencies to delay responding to certain requests and to charge $22 to $66 an hour to search for and review the records. And we know how government agencies work. How long do you think it will start taking them to search for records? Not only this, and this is the really scary one, government agencies could take requests to court if they think someone is asking for the records for a so-called malicious reason. And how would you define malicious? Is it, oh, we don't, someone wants to question an election? That's malicious. We cannot respond to, we can start prosecuting you for requesting those records. Oh, you're requesting records showing potential conflicts of interest or bribery. That's a hateful thing to do. We can sue you. So anyway, this is a really big one. It's called Assembly Bill 1821, as I note. And transparency advocates are saying, yeah, this looks bad. This looks like they're really trying to keep things hidden. And someone else said that basically, it would make California stand out as the most secretive state in the country. This is according to David Collier, who is a journalism professor at the University of Florida, and he sits on the Federal Freedom of Information Act Advisory Committee. So that's a pretty scary bill. If you would like to call state assemblywoman about that, I would do so. All right. Moving on. This is just a sampling, as I mentioned, of the bad bills. There's Senate Bill 934 by our favorite Senator Scott Wiener from San Francisco, who is probably going to take Nancy Pelosi's seat. It would basically add a ton of liability for therapists if they don't go along with someone's transgender feelings. And it basically hands lots of lawsuit power against legal, offers a big legal weapon for anyone who questions a therapist, who may be following their own research and fact-based findings or religious faith to say, you know, maybe you're not a boy, young lady who claims to be a boy. So this is a big one. Senate Bill 934. Another biggie is Senate Bill 608. This is a biggie for those of us with kids in public schools. It would require the Department of Education to make sure schools are fully complying with the California Healthy Youth Act. That's the very draconian Sex Education Act, really pushing gender nonsense and condoms on teenagers, middle schoolers. It would require that condoms be allowed during the course of or in connection with educational or public health programs and initiatives. And it would also ban any store from stopping a very young person from buying condoms, which is crazy. So kids could buy condoms. So would not be questioned. It would be allowed. It would have to be. The store would have to sell condoms to a child. Another bill, Assembly Bill 2540, would require health centers at public universities and community colleges to promote and market abortion pills to students. It would also require community colleges to sell abortion pills to their students. Maybe not even sell, maybe just give them out just as offering. All right. And then Assembly Bill 2531, this is another pro-abortion bill. It would expand a grant program that already exists that offers free abortions or very cheap abortions to women. This would add veterans, military veterans, to this grant program ability to get free or very cheap abortions. All right, so there we go. Oh, and here's one more. Assembly Bill 1980 would establish a taxpayer-funded program that would give apprenticeships in construction to women, non-binary identified individuals, and other underrepresented populations in California. So basically a DEI program for construction. All right. Well, we have a couple minutes left. I do want to end on a high note, and that is the interview, the exclusive interview that Spencer Pratt offered to the New York Post after his loss. And it offers some fighting words that I really want to add. So the question was, you care so much about LA. What do you love about the city? What do you hate and what frustrates you? He says, I love our history. I love Mexican food. I love our old Depression era architecture. I hate the socialists who are erasing our history, running all the best restaurants out of town. And when they do allow any building to go on, it's this depressing, brutalist slop architecture. Yes, thank you. Then the question is, there's a perception in LA that after so many years of one party rule, people are afraid to stand up and say what they think because it might affect their careers or ability to make money. Are people afraid to speak out against the status quo? If so, what's the impact of that and the solution? Spencer Pratt said, we had so many supporters behind the scenes, particularly Hollywood folks, who were too afraid to voice their support publicly. Regardless of the pressure, I can't respect that kind of cowardice. They're letting communists destroy their city because they're afraid some disingenuous malcontent might call them a meanie. And what's your message to LA and California? Stop the socialists before they finish you off. Yes, I think that is a message for all of us. All right, thanks so much for listening. This was Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthi, and see you next Monday.
Free Talk California is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. Ask about the daily specials. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 2 o'clock.